We're in chapter 12, and thank God, moving right along, and more importantly, even so, Lord, come quickly, praise his name. Let's read the first two verses together. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now we've spoken on this precious scene before. What a wonderful encouragement and type and shadow this picture that we have here of this woman. And so simply, brothers and sisters, this woman represents the whole family of God. In this picture, we see the whole family of God in heaven, and we see some in earth or on the earth at this time. Because we're seeing at this time the whole family of God, that some of the saints have been raptured, they have been taken into heaven, and some of the family is still on earth. Now, first of all, we know this through Scripture. Isn't that wonderful that we always know through Scripture? See, the Word of God is our proof. And not to belabor the point, but so sweetly, throughout Scripture, the Lord refers to his people as a woman. Israel, in particular, many places, but so mightily in Isaiah chapter 54. And then the church refers to as a woman in 2 Corinthians and throughout. So again, it's not that you're trying to guess or fabricate or stretch. You let the Word of God prove the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that we'll be right in line with truth as God brings this out. So this woman has the companies of heaven depicted upon and in her. And it's so marvelous and wonderful. And first of all, you'll notice, it says there, appeared a great wonder in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? See, let me tell you something. God's family, the family of God, is a great wonder. Hallelujah. And what a great wonder, praise the Lord, it will be when we gather. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord that the very first thing that we see about this great wonder is a woman that is clothed with the sun. Now, I'd like you to turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Confident many know where we'd be going in this, and thankful to God that, and there's many types, but this one is, I think, very apparent as we get proof of what this is speaking of here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40, the word says here, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. How could that not be any more clear? Amen? There's going to be a difference. Every man is going to be in his own rank, in his own order. This isn't a competition. This is appreciation and thankfulness and praise to God as we become enlightened with how great a love wherewith we are loved, that we want him to will and to do of his good pleasure. And matter of fact, the good pleasure of his will, that ecstasy at the height which would be the bride, that he would work in us. Amen? And that's, praise God, what this is about. So we see so sweetly and encouraged here that right after it talks about the glory of the celestial and the terrestrial, there is one glory of the sun. I love that. And it's pointed out there, one, because it's Jesus. That's the glory of glories. Hallelujah. And all glory is him. We know this, but this is a very precious encouragement here. As we know about the sun illuminates from within. It has it. It's not a reflected light. It's a source, praise God. And we know that the Lord is the source of it all, but there's something about being filled with all the fullness of God. You begin to light up. You begin to become one of them fiery ones, amen? Just like the cherubim back there in Ezekiel and all, they were fiery ones. They had that light, that absolute brilliance, praise God. So we see that this sun glory is noted first because the sun glory, obviously, of the family of God, that clothing, hallelujah, the first thing that would be seen, the magnificence, is the bride. Praise God. It's not a stretch, just something, a cookie on a shelf to see. The first thing John notes upon seeing New Jerusalem, as we will read later on, what does he see? He sees the Lamb's wife. I'll show you the Lamb's wife, that New Jerusalem, and it's her. But what does he notice first about her? It's the glory. It's the glory. She has the glory of God. She has it. Praise God. You talk about having it going on. She has got it going on. Because it's in her. Hallelujah. It's filled. It's overflowing. She illuminates with him. And this is what is so wonderful, because this is the radiance and this is the covering, hallelujah, of the family. It's that precious wife. And remember, if you remember back, the white of the bride's light, the white of her garments is just like that precious white that speaks of Jesus, is the word lampros. And remember, the lampros white is only used to describe the garments of the bride, the wife, her garment, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That lampros white is a glory that is exceeding and stunning and superior in brilliance to any other thing. But there's also something very special. It's transparent. You can see through it. And that's why her brilliance is so wonderful, is because all you see is Christ. Isn't that why it would say Christ in you, the hope of glory? Isn't that, praise the Lord, the most encouraging thing we could ever have? Because if we had to rely upon ourselves for any amount of glory, oh, I'd be awful sad. I'd be depressed beyond depressed that I know it's got to be the Lord. Because I know of me, there is nothing good. And I thank God again that he has made that plan so perfect that I can only praise his son. Aren't you grateful? Praise God. Oh, I thank him for this. I was thanking him for my brothers last night. That's what I was just so grateful. Oh, we're just a handful of misfits, but we're the prize and the jewel to him. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we know it. But see, this is this encouragement to us. See, the other white that's spoken of, remember this, there's the lampros that speaks of the glorious white garments of the wife and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the other white are all the other garments, the innumerable multitudes white, the white of the 24 elders' garments. That is leukos. It's brilliant and shining, but it is not to the degree of brightness of the four living ones or the bridal company. See, and that's why, again, you would know that the 24 elder, if the 24 elders were part of the bride, their white would be the same as the garments that are seen of the Lamb's wife. The Bible wouldn't contradict itself. It's her. She has that white. She has that glory. Praise God. And know these things and rejoice in them. So, this leukos brilliant white, which is a lesser brilliance, is still same, thank the Lord, it's his glory, but it's a lesser brilliance, is exactly what now this next thing we come into of seeing this woman is the moon under her feet. See, that lesser brilliance, and it's a beautiful brilliance. Have you noticed that super moon? Isn't it beautiful? Don't you love to see sun? You can't even look on the sun. Wouldn't that be another encouragement to you? As Moses wanted to look on the Lord, the Lord said, well, you can't look upon me. It'd kill you. But I'll tell you what, son, I'm going to walk by and you can see my back parts. I love that. But see how the Lord, even the celestial, he made that, again, perfectly in type. You can't look at the sun. But I'll tell you what, you can look at a little reflected glory. Isn't that wonderful? So here we have the reflected glory. We have the moon. And that, again, would represent that leukos, which is brilliant and shining, but it's not to the degree of the lampros white. It's a reflected light, the beautiful light. It's radiant, but it does not have the brightness of the sun. It doesn't have that internal burning, that fire that would come from a sun glory. It is a reflected light. And that would be in type of the innumerable multitude. Praise God. It's wonderful, it's shining, it's bright, but again, it's not to the place and the magnificence of what God would have for his bride. Now, the moon, if you think about this, in our sky, it appears a lot bigger than the sun, doesn't it? Especially that supermoon. So again, in type, it would show you that would even say, you know, it's bigger by a long shot, especially that supermoon. So it'd be like the innumerable multitude. It's the larger company. There's more of it. And again, it's the vast majority of the Christians that will be in the innumerable multitude. Now, finally, we get to what's called the 12 stars upon her head. So you see, she's a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. So this crown, you think of overcoming, and it's so precious. And this number 12, if you go into Hebrews, it speaks of, in Hebrews 12:23, the just men made perfect. So this would reference and encourage us to know that these are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Isn't that precious? The number 12. The number 12 is the number of perfect government rule. It represents the number of the 12 tribes and the disciples. Again, we're back to the encouragement of Israel. Now, I was asked a question. Well, again, and you think about how the Lord is seen in so many different ways throughout. We've talked about this. You know, the Lord is seen as a lamb. He's seen as an angel. He's seen as all these different things in Revelation. Same with the bride. She's seen as an angel. She's seen as beasts. She's seen as all of these different things throughout Revelation as well, too. Well, here we get kind of a different picture of these elders. You know, first they're called the 24 elders. But now they're seen, in a sense, as 12 stars. Well, if you think about it, that 24, that number 24, was the priestly order of the Old Testament. Amen? Well, now, praise God, we have the great high priest. There's no more need for that. The order of Melchizedek, all of that, it has been finished, praise God, and he has taken the seat at the right hand. Praise the Lord. So now, if you think about that, the great high priest has come, and now for the millennium, it's going to be the 12. It's going to be Israel, in a sense. And in that magnificence, that's what will be representing Israel at that time. And that governing will be the 12, not the 24 in that priestly order. So you can see how in type it changes. I pray that that might encourage you a little bit in thinking and pray on it. And you can see how the Lord, again, brings those different types as we move through. Again, the handoff, if you want to say, back from, it's not a handoff, but the Lord dealt with the Gentiles. He's still dealing with the Gentiles right now. But we start going through the tribulation, you're going to see the change happen. And he's going to start going back to Israel. And that's going to be a time that's no more, and then he's going to be focusing on Israel. And praise be to God, this is this link with this 144,000 that we're going to talk about. Even though that 144,000 is part of the church, it's still this link that God begins to deal with Israel. It's so precious. Because you know of the 144,000, 12,000 out of every tribe. Amen? And then over each of those 12 tribes are going to be 12 thrones. And on those 12 thrones are going to be the disciples that go through and that will rule over those 12 tribes. But all of that ruling will be over the earth in that millennial time. And those will be the ones, praise God, that will be ministering, praise Jesus, about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's so wonderful to see that transformation beginning to happen. But that is a marvelous thing. And that's exactly what we come to here. We finally see the final company that, in a sense, well, it is the final company of the church that's represented, that is part of this woman. Because it's not the church. Remember, this is the whole family of God, and I'll get to that in a minute. But we see the final company of the church because now she is ready to birth that company because she's travailing. And this, again, is such a wondrous prophecy. It's exciting because, again, once the church age where Jesus, again, he's going to turn now. Well, in the church age, we know that he went from the Jew to the Gentile, and now he's going to go back from the Gentile, turning back to Israel. And it says that this child that's going to be born, hallelujah, is going to be a child that we'll see is a man child. It says in the Word of God, it's a healthy child, a ruddy child, a robust child. And it's a child that's going to rule the nations. But notice, it's still a child. It's not a bride. So again, it just shows you different degrees of the maturity that are even going to be in the church. And that's going on even right now. But God has a precious place. There's going to be a ruling of this little company of these 144,000. And that truly is the crossover link from the church back to Israel through the millennium. The 144,000, and I mentioned this before and I want to mention it again, is part of the church. They are part of that church. But their reigning will be with the 12 the disciples that will be set over each of the 12,000 out of the each tribe out of the 144,000. And they will reign over Israel upon the earth throughout the millennium. Mighty. And you think about this. You think where we're at with Israel right now. And again, the Lord has so graced my life to have so much interaction with Jewish people. And I've been so thankful and just grateful to always be encouraged of the Lord for his care, his love, and especially his faithfulness to the Jew. And it is mighty. And I can see, praise God, as I've went through life, I can see his hand even upon the individuals I knew. And the encouragement all the time of the things of God. So I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, we pray for Israel. And that's a manifold thing. But praying for Israel in its height is even so, Lord, come quickly. Because this is what's for them, praise his name. So as we go on to verses 3 through 6, we've seen this a couple times, this scene already is what I'm trying to say. We've seen it a couple times in our study before. This time when Satan is cast out of heaven. And as we're going to see here, the very first intent of Satan is to pursue and destroy the 144,000 that are birthed by this woman. So let's go ahead and read verses 3 through 6. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So again, this is this company of the 144,000 that are going to come forth again and turn to the Lord and come to the Lord during this three and a half year time of the beginning of the tribulation. They're going to have that witness and they're going to be encouraged of the Lord, and the Lord is going to minister to them so sweetly and greatly, and they're going to be born in a sense at that time and be part of that wonderful company of the church. It goes on to say, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. So basically what we have here, and we'll go back and get a little bit more detail upon this, is that we're approaching the middle of the tribulation here. It's getting very near. And that 144,000, hallelujah, will all be completely finished for God. And they're going to be birthed, and hallelujah. It's going to be a time in there of that 3.5 years that all this kind of comes together. But they're going to be ready to be with the Lord. And right when that is finished and completed, to the very second, just like a bride that's going to be completed to the very second. Whoosh, gone. Gone. Hallelujah. But not gone until that old Satan is cast out of heaven and thinks that he's got an opportunity to destroy something of God's plan. Well, let me tell you, and news for Satan, that ain't going to happen. But see, he's not going to realize that, because he's so stupid, ornery, and evil, until after he is cast out. It's only then and only then that he realizes he has but a short time. Just a little while. He knows it's done then. Praise God. But this is what's so beautiful. So what happens is that 144,000, and that'll be the last company of the church that'll be taken into heaven. So you think about the church. You have the bride, okay? We've seen the innumerable multitude taken. Amen? That was the bride's at the beginning of the tribulation. The innumerable multitude is somewhere shortly into it, maybe about a year to a year and a half, somewhere in there. We don't know exactly when, but we know it's near the beginning. We have that company that was seen in heaven in chapter 7. And now we have the 144,000 that will complete the church. And that company will be taken up into heaven right here, right before the middle of the week or the 3.5 years, tribulation being 7 years. But what happens then is we have this woman that's still, in a sense, left, which is symbolizing that there's a part of the family of God now that will continue on the earth. At this time, do you remember those martyrs that were back there in chapter 6 that we read about that were under the throne? See, those are ones that receive the truth and receive the word of God and believe in him, that refuse the mark of the beast, praise the Lord. But they receive that after the innumerable multitude is taken. Because see, if you're a Christian and you would have that encouragement at that time before the innumerable multitude is taken, but you weren't a bridal saint, you would still be raptured with that innumerable multitude company. But see, there's an encouragement of truth that goes on even after that. And the Lord is ministering because of the grace of God is so immense and so wonderful that there's still time, praise the Lord, to receive him. Isn't that wonderful? He's so sweet, so beautiful. But he has a purpose and a plan in this. So then, in those saints that will receive the Lord, and again, that those saints are ministered by who? Remember those two witnesses we spoke about last week? Those are the ones that will be receiving the truth at that time from those two witnesses. We understand that they'll be mainly the Jew, but there'll also be some Gentiles in there as well too. But this is that woman that is hidden in the wilderness. It's going to be a wilderness time all over this world. Do you get that? I mean, there has never been a time that it will be like this time upon the earth. And Satan is going to pursue with all the forces of hell to destroy anything and everything about the Word of God. And that would obviously include anybody who believes in Jesus. Anybody who refuses the mark in that regard. So he has to protect his people. Now there will be ones that die. And praise God, what a protection that is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But then there's going to be ones that will go into the tribulation, going into the millennium as well too, that will live all the way through. Could you imagine that? I thank God I don't have to really imagine that. But in a sense, what a wonderful encouragement. And we'll be able to watch and to see our brethren at that time be encouraged of the Lord to go through that time. We'll be present with the Lord, watching, hallelujah, praying as the Lord prays for us. You talk about these prayers that we're going to talk about, the prayers of the saints, that the angels will be, and again, those angels are the messengers that we've read about, which is the bride, that'll be offering that up with the Lord. Praise God, praying, hallelujah, for the family of God. This is our family. Don't you pray for your natural family? I pray we pray for our spiritual family, because that's the forever family. But we're praying. This is real. And I can see it. And it's exciting. Praise God. And you talk about those warriors of faith. You know, just like the warriors of faith that, you know, like a Moses, you know, and David and all of that. You know, I've seen some pretty awesome films about, you know, Armageddon and different things like that and sci-fi. And I'd mentioned some names. I don't want to lose your attention. You know, where everything was pretty much desolated out, but there was a few remaining and stuff. This is the real deal. Amen. These are the real ones. And they're going to be. And our brethren. And they're going to be strengthened of the Lord. And the Word of God is going to strengthen them. And they're going to know. And just like we encourage one another, it's but a short time, brother. He will prevail. He already has prevailed. How exciting. Amen? Let that encourage your heart, see? Let him who incorporates all time take you there by faith. Hallelujah. So, this is mighty. And that 1,203 score days, that 1,260 days, If you calculate that out, that's basically 3.5 years. So that's, again, he'll hide them in the wilderness for that whole time of that last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And either those ones will be the saints that will be martyred, that you're seeing under the altar, that say, "How long, O Lord?" And then there will be some that will live all the way through, that will live right on in to the millennium. What a story that they'll have to tell. Praise God. All right, so it's good stuff, but this is awesome. So recapping this in a little bit more detail, the enemy pursues to destroy the 144,000, and then they're gone because the Lord in his faithfulness takes them. Raptured, that 144,000. We will read of them again in chapter 14. It says that they're in heaven, praise God, and he takes them right to the throne. When the 144,000 are gone, yes, the entire church then will be in heaven. But there is still some family of God represented in the woman that is remains here on earth. And I pray that that encourages you, kind of puts things together. If there were some things that were gapping there, this isn't hard to understand. It's just as the Word of God, as we lay it out and let the Spirit reveal it to us. Hallelujah. But we see, even though the 144,000 is raptured, the part of the family of God seen in this woman is still now on the earth. Now, remember the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins? This would be the five foolish virgins that we're speaking of. They weren't ready. They didn't have oil in the lamp. These ones were the ones, again, that were ministered of the Lord by the two witnesses. Mentioned again that we can see in Scripture that these will be mainly Jews. And some have asked me, said, "Well, why wouldn't these Jews that received this word at this time be part of the 144,000? Well, the 144,000 was ready. These folks are just now receiving the word of God again. So you can see how there's a perfect order again in the resurrection. There's a rank, hallelujah. There's companies. And it's all throughout the word of God. Isn't that marvelous? Doesn't that encourage you again and again? Because see, the Lord's so sweet and patient. He said, "Well, if you don't get it, I'm going to help you get it here. And then I'll help you get it here." He repeats himself in his glory all the time. And it's more magnificent in a lot of ways every time he tells you, because it's just such a perfect witness of his love. So, it's wonderful that we see that all of these companies now are in heaven. Now, these saints that are left on earth, after all the company, the church has been raptured, mentioned again that these ones will be part of those that die, the saints found under the altar. Earlier in Revelation, we read of that. And then the ones that go on into the millennium. Now, when the 144,000 are taken, in the Old Testament, as well as the New, there's something called Jacob's trouble. And that's spoken of in Isaiah and Daniel and Matthew 24. This marks the middle of the week. So when it says that she has this travail and all of those things, there's a lot of travailing going on. And there's going to be a travailing going on for the next 3.5 years, because there's going to be total pursuit to destroy everything of Christ. Because remember, at the middle of the week is when the Antichrist rises up and tells basically everyone, "You worship me as God." See, at the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is lying and lying wonders, bringing peace through deception. We've had, about a century of precursor of peace through deception. It's true. So we're kind of used to it. Amen. And it's sad, because I'm not saying that people didn't necessarily have their best effort, but the sad part is, look to the Word of God. Amen. There's no peace without Jesus. There's no rest without him. Without Jesus, there's no grace. And that's why he is the Prince of Peace. And we're thankful to that. And I'm just grateful for my own little life that I know that. No matter how much turmoil, I know he is, again, that brings that peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. But now, with a little time left, and I don't want to labor you tonight. I know we're a little weary. But let's get a little more insight on this red dragon. Chapter 12, verse 9, a little further down, it tells you specifically who the red dragon is. It's the devil. I think it's very clear. And so, but see, God is wrapping it up now. And see, the devil is mad beyond, because now that dummy devil, he knows that it's over. See, now we're going to see the devil coming full force as a roaring lion. This is this time when you're going to see evil and destruction and that this world has never seen. He's got but a little while. And you'll notice here this red dragon has seven heads with seven crowns. And that's as told to us in Daniel 8. And those seven heads represent seven nations. And we talked about this in, many weeks ago in part of the study here in Revelation. And Daniel saw these kingdoms. And remember, they were the kingdoms of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. So there's five of them. And they all fell, didn't they? Yes, they did. And then after that, we had the great one, Rome. All right? And Rome fell. But in a sense, Rome didn't necessarily completely go away. Because there was still that, and I've heard it expressed this way, a Babylonic, Roman Catholic church rule. Kind of infiltrated, kept it kind of together. We see it kind of still together today with our European Union, with all of these different things. We see that it never fully, truly went away. So even in type where it says was, is not, and yet is, we'll see this in a couple types. You kind of see this with the seventh. Because in the seventh, that seventh head that comes again, this you'll see that it is that all of the kingdoms, in a sense, have that incredible power at this end time. And that seventh comes into prominence again. Let's go ahead over to Revelation 17. Because this will give you a little bit better idea of encouragement as we jump ahead. And I think this is good because the Lord's encouraged me. As we get this, it just solidifies when we get, if the Lord tarry, we get back to 17. By all of these things, hopefully by going through this, it's just more solid and just again, more line upon line that we feed upon this. So in Revelation 17, verse 7, it says, "And the angel said to me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They will wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains," meaning kingdoms, "on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth." See, that's that wound that he receives in the head and dying and coming back. "And is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which haven't received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Praise God, you're with him? Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Hearing this, Paul's gospel, you're with him. Hallelujah. So this is mighty. And wonderful here, because we see, first of all, and you notice there's a woman riding this beast. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Those, and I'm sure most of you know, that woman is the mother of all harlots, the religious system that sits on riding these seven nations. There's a system, and it's a working, and we know that that is going to be part, not only of the beast, but that false prophet. See, that false prophet gives that encouragement of the world in its false spiritual sense that this beast is God, that he encourages that worship. And we know that there will be some link there, not just a link, but very influence and power that will cause the large religions and the largest of religions to give homage and worship the beast. Now, specifically here, we see once again that phrase of the beast that was and is not and yet is. We'll read later on that this beast receives a mortal wound in the head and after 3 days rises. Remember this again. The Lord is ordering all of this because he knows how he is going to, basically, those that want to be evil, they're going to be called. Those wicked ones, they're called to this day of evil. And they're going to be players in that evil. And all of that evil, praise God, is going to be destroyed, and it's going to give glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what it's going to be. So this is all set up, and I'll tell you what, by faith, you're going to be choosing to be on this side, and without it, you're going to be on this side. And I think that this was and is not and yet is such proof that this will be the son of perdition, the Antichrist, that will be as Christ. And the Lord is going to will this because he's going to have the world completely deceived. Though one rose from the dead, they would not believe. They have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. They just don't want to believe. But here's the anti of anti. Here is the false. Here is the beast. And now he's going to give that ability that truly Satan is going to be able to raise that beast in 3 days. And that's even going to have more proof, again, that this truly is speaking, I believe, not of a group. This is a person. And I sincerely believe it. I think the world will wonder after a person. We see how the world wonders after a person so quickly, time and time again throughout history. I mean, we've been studying this. I told you how, my goodness, and I appreciate Sweet Scott giving me that article back there in, what was that, about 1939 or something, Scott, or whatever it was, 37 I think it was. The largest Jewish council in Germany was coming out to endorse and encourage all Jews to vote for Hitler as their leader. They were voting in full force to the man that would send them to the gas chamber. One man, huh? And we see how man wants to wander after one man, even Christian man. Think about Saul. They had Samuel, the prophet. They had the word of the Lord. God had shown himself so faithful. But yet man was going to say, no, we need a man to lead us. We want to look to that man. God help us, amen? And he does, praise the Lord. But this explains, too, if you think about this, as it said here, the rising from the pit. See, he comes back from that abyss. It talked about, again, he will ascend out of the bottomless pit. So there's a death. And there is an ending of death for an unbeliever is hell. But that one is going to be empowered to be raised back from hell, this Antichrist. You talk about all the forces and the demonic possession that's going to be in this person. Well, I'm so thankful I know my Lord. And I'll tell you what, you don't know the Lord, you should be terrified. But if you don't know the Lord, you're just too stupid and stiff-necked to know it. And that's the truth. Well, let's wrap this up. So we see here this beast king, and matter of fact, it's called the beast king, conquers the other nations. And then the 10 kings. Did you notice that about the ten kings, it said it had seven heads, and then it had 10 horns. Those horns speak of 10 kings. But these 10 kings, they don't have a kingdom. If you go back to Daniel 2, this is referring to the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image. And you notice that these 10 kings that don't have any kingdom, they're going to have one evil mind. They're going to join with the beast. They're going to give him power. They're going to get power for 1 hour, giving all authority to that beast. Now, as we close this up, who could these 10 be? Lots of different thoughts on this. And it's exciting to see these things line up. You know, people would say, well, it's the European Union. Okay. It was sweet to talk to a saint not too long ago, and excited about the things of the Lord. And I start to think to seeing some bridal truth. But if you ever saw about, he said, have you seen all of those Soviet bloc countries? The old ones, Estonia and all of that. There's 10 of them. And I just thought, well, praise God. But then it was sweet as well, too, to hear a couple other brothers, and I know Brother Hawkins has mentioned this as well, too. Could this be the caliphate? Could this be the kings without kingdoms? Could they be like the ISIS? Could they be all of these different evil things? I'm going to tell you, it's going to be all of them. It's going to be everything. It's all going to turn against Israel. They're going to come in there to destroy them. And it is going to be the most evil, the most wicked, the most destructive time. I don't know exactly who these players are, but I'm going to tell you what, they're all here. All these players are right here. And this thing is about ready to burst. And it could be at any moment. I tell you what, by the grace of God, God's people better waken up. The world is wandering after. I mean, we've come from times and you hear this message of peace, 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 peace. But we have war and rumor of war everywhere. As you see it, we've got wars in supermarkets and trucks running into them. Those are wars. These are all little wars. This thing's out of control. And there's going to be one that's going to rise up and say, why, my goodness, he's got all the answers. He comes in lying and deceitful. And Israel must really trust this fellow. And he gets him to sit down. He says, and maybe even in his, you know, maybe even the one that would, it might not even be the beast at all in a sense. It might be one of the messengers of the beast. Doesn't know any better what he's doing. I think about King Ahasuerus. You know what? He didn't mean to sign the death sentence of all the Jews at that time. But he was tricked. He thought he was doing something good and there it went. All right. We're here, aren't we? Praise God. Finally, as I'll just close with here, as we saw in verse 4, it said that the third part of those stars, did you see how it said there? We'll just close with this tonight. It says that the dragon's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Let me tell you something. There were a lot of fallen angels. There were a lot of them angels that went with Satan that time. Sad. But they did. And God knew they would. And this is part of the plan. But all of this is going to be cast to earth. All of this evil is going to be hitting the earth at this time. Notice once again, all the intent was to destroy the 144,000. They must not read the word of God. I always thought that about the sinner and all of it. I mean, if you really hated the word of God, wouldn't you do exactly opposite of it? But it just shows you they can't because it's the word of God. And even the stupid old devil, the smartest, most brilliant creature that's ever been, most beautiful, stunning pipe organ within. But let me tell you something. When you don't know the word of God, you're an absolute fool. Amen. I'm thankful we know. But it's not going to happen, is it? That 144,000 is not going to be destroyed. They're going to be right there at the throne. And I tell you, as I was thinking, I love making the devil mad. Not that I think about him at all. But it sure is a benefit of faith. But you notice here again, what always makes the devil mad? The word. What's going to destroy the devil? The word. What already destroyed him in a sense, his head was under that heel. The word, praise God. And there's nothing more infuriating to the devil than when you believe the word of God. Praise his name. Well, thank the Lord. We're getting closer, as they say, to the end, but we're getting closer to the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And just pray, and Lord, just continue to let us see ourselves. Take that place. But we only do that as we see him and we see his precious eyes. Boy, I've been thinking about them eyes upon us. That eyes of adoring love, praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.